It's here and now.
If the government is telling the truth, reporters become a minor, relatively unimportant conduit of ordinary people to what is happening there. But when the government doesn't tell the truth, then the journalist becomes involuntarily infinitely more important.
That's the late David Halberstam, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author of The Best and the Brightest, speaking in the new documentary Dateline Saigon. The film features Halberstam and four other reporters from American news outlets, Malcolm Brown, Horst Voss, Peter Arnett, and Neil Sheehan, who were based in Vietnam in the early years of the war. The film chronicles their struggle to get the truth out about what was really happening in Vietnam and the depth of American involvement, which, as these reporters exposed, the U.S. government was lying about. Tom Herman directed Dateline Saigon, and he joins us in the studio. Tom, your narrator, Sam Waterston, says these five young men arrived in Vietnam ambitious and patriotic. Tell us more about them.
Well, quickly, David Halberstam was a 29-year-old reporter for the New York Times. He wanted to go to Vietnam, as he says in the film, because he thought that it was a ticket to history. These were all young men, all on their first big assignments. Peter Arnett was a New Zealand freelancer who had been bouncing around Southeast Asia for a number of years and then got a string with the Associated Press. He joined the office of a fellow named Malcolm Brown, the senior citizen of the group at 30, who had come there having been a desk reporter in Baltimore. Neil Sheehan was the youngest of the group in his mid-20s. He had been a reporter for the United Press for just 2 weeks before he was shipped to Vietnam.
Incredible.
And the more experienced reporters didn't want to go there because the war wasn't going to be very important, people thought. Each of these five young men went on to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Wow. Give us some examples of the difficulties these young men had in getting their story out about what was really going on.
In the early years of the war, the reporters were thought to be, by the government, thought to act in a role that reporters did in World War II. They'd be on the team. They'd be supporting what the government's line was. And indeed, in World War II, mostly they were.
So the expectation was they would toe the line.
The expectation, they would be on the team. They would toe the line. When these young reporters got there, indeed, they were all children of the Cold War. They'd come to a patriotic consciousness during World War II, and they thought that they were going to do what Edward R. Murrow and Ernie Pyle and others did in the Second World War. But they then learned, and it took them some time, that the story that was being peddled by the government was not the truth, and then they went out and developed sources and told the story that we know today.
Well, I actually want to play another clip from David Halberstam talking about how they were treated by the U.S. government and the military.
I did not have any idea how tough it was going to be, that, in fact, the reporters were going to be politically an endangered or jeopardized species, and that we were going to confront a vast lying machine which would very quickly sort of target us as the enemy.
These reporters actually got beaten up. So they got beaten up by the South Vietnamese authorities who were allied with the U.S. government and military. Peter Arnett gets very badly beaten, and David Halberstam has to rush in and save him. Tell us about this.
When these reporters went in, there was a real competition. It was the last wire service battle, AP versus UPI. When the going got tough, these competitors had to get together to protect themselves. And in this particular instance, Indira, that you mentioned, Peter Arnett, Halberstam, Neil Sheehan, Malcolm Brown went to a demonstration.
A squad of helmeted riot police forms up. Nine foreign newsmen are on hand. Some of us start photographing the scene.
The secret police, the Saigon government secret police, didn't want them taking pictures, didn't want them there. And they started beating Peter Arnett and other journalists up, and Halberstam and Sheehan and the others come to rescue them. That's just one example that I was able to get into the film of many things like that that happened. For example, President Kennedy called the publisher of the New York Times up and had him come down to the White House. The publisher of the New York Times, Arthur Punch Sulzberger, thought it was just to talk about the kids and the family. But indeed, he asked Sulzberger if he wouldn't remove Halberstam from Vietnam, which to the New York Times' great credit, they did not do.
Well, as you say, the antagonism went all the way to the top. You even have some new archival sound in your documentary of Kennedy himself on tape talking in the Oval Office about his antipathy towards these reporters.
Yeah. So we hear on the tapes John F. Kennedy and his Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, talking about Halberstam and Sheehan, who were causing all the trouble because of their idealistic philosophy. But indeed, what
Well, because they were reporting the truth and the White House didn't want it out.
They didn't want the story out. But what was happening is Kennedy was learning what was really going on in Vietnam from Halberstam and Sheehan and the others in the film, and he wasn't getting a lot of the straight story from his ambassador and his generals.
So on the one hand, he was antagonistic towards the reporters. On the other hand, he was saying to his own aides, why are you not telling me what these guys are telling me? Who's telling the truth here?
Exactly.
Did these reporters who came in so young and idealistic at the start of the war, did they eventually become embittered about their experiences, embittered about trust in the U.S. government after working there?
That's an interesting question. And I think the answer is no. They were all very patriotic young men. They didn't go over to criticize the war, but they found out that the government was lying, and they reported the truth. But they weren't embittered. They certainly turned against the war and saw that it was wasting American and other lives to no good purpose. But no, I don't think they were embittered. They were actually quite idealistic and remained that way today for those who are alive. And David Halberstam, who was killed a few years ago, was idealistic until the end of his days.
I want to play a clip from Neil Sheehan, the author of A Bright Shining Lie, an incredible book. Some people say the best book written about the Vietnam War. Let's hear it.
My attitude toward the war changed slowly, sad enough to say. We couldn't concede that this country that had been that good to us could do anything wrong because of the extent to which the Cold War mentality had a hold on us and the faith we had in this country that our causes would always be just, that our wars would always be victories.
It was Neil Sheehan, of course, who got hold of the Pentagon Papers, the secret U.S. government history of the war that documented that the U.S. government knew exactly how badly the war was going. Did Neil Sheehan feel vindicated by that in the end?
Very much so. You asked a moment ago if they felt embittered. They did not, but it was a real coming of age and a loss of innocence, which did not result in bitterness. But I think it, with the effort and the hope that their reporting of the facts as they saw them on the ground would inform the American public and the people who make decisions, who make policy decisions in Washington and elsewhere to correct the mistakes.
What do you think this story tells us about reporters covering wars today? Is there a larger message about wartime journalism?
I think that your opening quotation from Halberstam about the importance of journalists when the government may not be telling the full story or the accurate story is as relevant today as it was 50 years ago when these young men, and there were many wonderful, extraordinary women who came after Halberstam, Sheehan et al. So I think the lessons they learned and passed on to those covering conflict today is very important. And I'm told by a number of people, for example, Dexter Filkins, the great New York Times and New Yorker writer, that he and others take The Best and the Brightest, David Halberstam's book on the Vietnam War, into conflict situations today and use it as a Bible.
You know, you mentioned this thing about women correspondents coming after these men. When I saw the film, it was at the John F. Kennedy Library. There was a panel discussion afterwards, and former Boston Globe foreign correspondent H.D.S. Greenway, who also covered the war in Vietnam, talked about how so many war correspondents today, some of the best in his opinion, are women. Does that strike you too, the difference, the contrast in this film?
Yes, it does. And there were some extraordinary women who did not make it into this film, but maybe there'll be a sequel and we'll be able to see the stories of the great Gloria Emerson, Frances Fitzgerald, Kate Webb, Elizabeth Becker,
I knew others. Kate Webb when I was posted in Asia. She was an extraordinary woman. Okay. Finally, for you, seeing this film completed after so many years, clearly a labor of love, what does it mean to you?
I'm getting quite a bit of favorable comment, and that's gratifying. But it's also gratifying that the story of these reporters and then others who came after has been captured for posterity and that we all might learn something from it, not only the journalists but the public, in terms of the importance of these people who put themselves in great danger, what they bring back to all of us.
The film will have a screening tonight in the Capitol Visitor Center in Washington, D.C., open to the public. Tom Herman is the director of Dateline Saigon. Tom, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Indira. Pleasure to be here.